This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's get to the progressive guest line. Will Gray joining us from NBC Sports. We're talking Augusta and the Masters, of course. Tiger Woods shooting a 71 yesterday, which is just a few off the lead. Progressive Insurance making bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. Will, how best can you describe what Tiger did on that golf course yesterday?
I think I'm going to come up short of adjectives, whichever ones I choose. I mean, it was definitely remarkable, even in the eyes of the oddsmakers. Everyone had his over-under for his opening round. You know, you saw some 75.5. Maybe people thought he'd shoot 74. He comes in with 71, and maybe he left a couple putts out there for sure. So it was an absolute, you know, miracle to see him on this golf course, given where he was 14 months ago. But for him to be able to play as well as he did, to swing it as well as he did, was just a marvel. I'm interested to see how he's going to do today. I think it's going to get a little tougher, both in terms of the conditions and in terms of what his body is going to be going through. But at least for one day yesterday, he's in red figures. No one's going to be able to take that away from him.
How did he do that? Like, if you were to talk about the strategic way he went around that golf course, how did he shoot one under?
I think that the key for Tiger at Augusta National, and it's probably one of the reasons that he wanted to come back here so badly, is he knows that course so well, and he knows that it's not 18 green lights. That is a course where you can go and you can attack the four par fives, but there are some holes where you need to lay back, and you need to hit it for the center of the green, and sometimes 40 feet away is a really good shot. And so he is the master, no pun intended, of knowing when to pump the brakes around there and when to reach for the gas, and that's what he did yesterday. He wasn't going after every flag. He was picking his spots. He was playing for par on a lot of the other holes, and it worked out pretty well. You know, you make a couple bogeys, you make a couple birdies, you see where things shake out. He rolled in a 30-foot putt on 16, and that was the difference in getting him into red figures. So that's definitely the game plan that I think he's going to want to take into this round today, and then potentially into the weekend if he makes the cut, because he knows he can't go full bore on any one shot, really, let alone, you know, the entire 18-hole stretch. So he's absolutely going to have to try and play within himself and pick his spot.
Now, if he does make the cut and he does play the weekend, he's only completed 25% of his goal. That leg, what did he talk about afterwards? How did it look to you? Did he grimace at all to you? Did he look like he is really fighting through some pain?
Yeah, I mean, he was honestly pretty candid, which is not what we're used to seeing with Tiger talking about injury. You know, he said, yeah, it hurts, and he's dealing with inflammation. He kept referencing his team. I mean, he's got a lot of people working on this, but basically the plan yesterday was to freeze it in an ice bath, and he was just going to have to basically freeze his leg to get the inflammation down. And then this morning, in advance of his second round tee time, he's going to have to warm it right back up. So we're talking about hours of physical rehab, of cooling down and warming up just for his leg before we even talk about, you know, the fused back and the knee that he's had surgery on. And then, oh, by the way, maybe we want to get around to hitting some golf balls on the practice range. So it's going to be a process. That process is only going to get more intense if he makes the cut as we get into the weekend. And that's absolutely, you know, the biggest factor. And he said as much in his pre-tournament press conference. It's not about can he swing the golf club. It's can his leg handle the walk? Can his body handle the sustained effort of playing two or four days in a row on a course that really takes it out of you, even in your best of health?
I get Tiger Woods, and we've had him in our lives professionally for 25 years, and one of the things we know throughout his injuries is that he has a high tolerance for pain. He can get through pain, obviously the U.S. Open in 2008, but he is 46 years old. Does he have to? Do you feel that this year, based on what you think the weather will be like, based on the talent that's out there, does he have to have a 67 out there someday, a 66 someday, to really get in what people want him to be, which is contention on Sunday?
Potentially. I think if he's able to make the cut today, that's going to be a huge step forward. I mean, he's never missed the cut at the Masters as a pro, only once in 96 when he was still an amateur. But given where he was, given the speculation even a couple days ago of if he would play this tournament, if he's able to make the cut today, that's going to be remarkable. And he even said as much yesterday in his post-round comments. Someone asked him, you know, I know you always come out here, you say your stated goal is to win, but did today feel like a win? And he said, yeah. And so there's an element of gratitude about him where he's just happy to be there and be able to play. So would he love to be able to pull one out on Saturday and really get into the mix? Absolutely. I think that the conditions are going to get more difficult these next 3 days. I think the scores are going to start to level out. But even just having a tee time on Sunday, wearing that red and black, that's going to be such a huge victory for him, regardless of where he is in the leaderboard.
All right, we've got a couple of former champions on the leaderboard, Danny Willett, Dustin Johnson. What did you make of the opening round, though? What did you make of the guys who did very well? And even a guy like Justin Thomas who didn't do very well. Where does this course get you and where does this course give you?
Yeah, there are a lot of big names, JT included, whose Masters bid probably ended in about 5 hours yesterday. He's four over. I don't think he's going to be able to come back from that. We've seen, Jordan Spieth is over par, Koepka over par, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa. Not since Tiger in 2005 has a player shot over par in the opening round and then come back to win a green jacket. So a lot of those guys are really behind the eight ball. And then you look at guys, as you mentioned, like Willett and Dustin Johnson. They made the best of it yesterday, and you really needed to, because yesterday's conditions were as easy as it's going to get the rest of the week. It was still pretty wet from the overnight rains Tuesday and Wednesday, even though they had the sub-air system going and they were trying to suck the moisture out. Today, Mother Nature is going to do that job for them, because that wind is going to be pumping. We're looking at 20 to 25 miles an hour. It is going to be a very, very difficult test, especially on and around these greens. So I think the key is, you needed to have gotten your good round under your belt yesterday, because from here on out, it's only going to get more difficult.
I know that weather obviously has an effect on golf tournaments, no doubt. Does the Masters, when it's blustery, is there a way that they help the players out, or do they go, if you shoot 80, you shoot 80, it's not up to us?
Yeah, they're going to let their hands off and just kind of let it go. I mean, I think that the beauty of that course is just how much the wind can affect things. Not only, how hard it's blowing, but which direction it's blowing. That course, you never have really any straight holes. So it's always these awkward angles. You're trying to figure out if it's coming a little bit off your left or a little off your right. I mean, the wind, we see it in other majors, especially the British Open, where, it makes a big difference, but it absolutely makes a huge difference at Augusta. Those greens are so fast, even just on a day like yesterday where it was still a little wet. Now that moisture's gone, you're going to have guys have their pant legs kind of buffeted while they're trying to hold a 6 or 8 footer coming down the hill. It is a scary proposition, and it's one that they're going to have to take on.
Tell me about Joaquin Niemann. He's a guy that won at L.A. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his last name right, but he's 3 under, and he played in the Tiger group. How is his game?
Yeah, you got the name right. So you got that. Yes, you're good. Listen, you talk about the next generation of PGA Tour stars. He's right there in the mix. He's from Chile. He had actually played this tournament when he won the Latin America Amateur a couple years back. So that's kind of where he started. But yeah, he's an absolute bona fide on the PGA Tour. Now he had won previously a couple years ago, but it really was a statement victory at Riviera at Tiger's event that he hosted in February, where he not only won, but he kind of blew the field away and ended up winning by 5 or 6 shots. He's a guy, honestly, I was pretty high on him this week until I saw the pairing. And I saw his group with Tiger, and I didn't think that he really had the comportment to handle the circus that was going to come these first 2 days. He clearly proved me wrong yesterday. It helped that he holed a wedge from about 150 yards in the ninth hole for an eagle. All the players were saying that it was such a big roar, they thought it was a Tiger birdie roar.
Yeah,
and then they found out, oh, no, it was Niemann making an eagle. Okay, so that's kind of the scale that we're dealing with the patron roars this week. But, he's won before on the PGA Tour. He's won this year. He's playing really well. It would be a surprise to see him slip into that green jacket, given, the circus he's going to have to deal with today and the one he dealt with yesterday. But, forecasting 3, 4, 5 years down the road, would it surprise me if he ever gets a major? No, definitely not.
I ask this with all respect. I get it. If you can shoot a low score at Augusta on any given day, we probably should be talking about you. But I've seen leaderboards filled with guys that we never see them again. But Sungjae Im, is he capable of winning this? Does he have the game to win this? Or is that just a good round on a Thursday?
I think that there's a lot of parallels. If you look back at the 2020 leaderboard, when they played this tournament in November and the course was super soft all week, who won that tournament? It was Dustin Johnson, and right behind him in second place was Cam Smith and Sungjae Im.
Yeah.
And who do we have again today or yesterday? Because the course was soft. It was very similar conditions to what we saw in 2020. And so it wasn't surprising to see those same names pop up to the leaderboard. Sungjae Im is another guy like Niemann, where he may not be well known to the casual fan. He's from South Korea. He's young. He's in his early 20s, but he's already won a couple times on the PGA Tour. So he's got the game. He's got the chops to hang. But I do think that the course is going to change over these next couple days, where I don't know that it's going to suit his style of play quite as well as it did yesterday when it was soft and when he was able to really attack more pins.
If it does get to a point where you said it's going to get tougher and there's winds, What skill golfer, what is the golfer's trait that has to shine out where you would say, okay, if you're going to pick a winner, they need to be doing this in these conditions, and these are the guys that can do that well?
I think the trait is how many times have you played Augusta? I really think that it's going to lean on the veterans. And I look at a guy like Dustin Johnson, who, you know, won here 18 months ago, like we said, when the conditions were different. But he's seen this course a lot over the years, so he knows what it's going to take. But you have to have seen this course before, and you have to know kind of what these conditions are going to mean, and the places that you absolutely can't miss, and maybe the places where you can get a little aggressive based on what the wind is doing. So, you know, just like early in the week when it rained a bunch and the practice got suspended and everyone's plans went out the window, whatever you thought you were going to do Tuesday and Wednesday leading into this tournament, you didn't do it because the course was closed for more than 50% of the last couple of days of practice. So I do think it's playing into the hands of the veterans who don't necessarily need those final one or two rounds, who can lean on their memory bank and know, hey, okay, when the wind kicks up on 10, here's where you want to go. And if it's in two off the left on 16, this is where to miss and things like that.
Will, and we're talking to Will Gray of NBC Sports. I do want to ask you about Phil, and I want to ask you about his decision not to play. I'm led to believe, and I could be wrong on this, that the safest place to make a return would be Augusta National. I may be wrong, but I thought if you're going to ease yourself back into the golf community, that's a safe place to do that. Is it surprising that he did not do that? Is it surprising that he decided, I'm going to stay away from golf, but I'm not even going to go to the Masters?
Yeah, very much. I was shocked to see him decide not to play. I agree with you that there is some element of a safe harbor in Augusta, especially for a past champion and a three-time champion like Mickelson. You know, I kind of thought that he could come into this event and have one very controlled press conference before the tournament, and then he could spend the next few weeks saying, well, I already talked about that at Augusta, and that would be able to shut down that discussion. He opted not to do that. You know, that Fred Ridley, the chairman of Augusta, made it very clear on Wednesday that, you know, he was not asked to not come. It was Phil, you know, proactively calling Augusta and saying, hey, I'm not going to be there. So, you know, in terms of the chain of command or operations, that's how it went. But it is very surprising to see he's really going dark. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau had a comment early in the week where he said, I've tried to reach out to him and I've just gotten silent. So he's just off the grid, essentially. You know, we're only a month away from the PGA Championship, where, remember, he's going to be the defending champion at age 51, you know, going back from that historic win last year at Kiowa. So, I would be even more shocked if he doesn't show up at the PGA Championship to defend that major title that he won last year. But I'm not sure at this point if we're going to see him before then.
Will, great stuff as always. Love having you on. Thank you so much for your insight.
All right. Good talking to you, Tony.
You got it. Will Gray, NBC Sports at Augusta for the Masters on a Progressive guest line. And a very interesting comment on Phil, because it is next month, the PGA Championship. Progressive Insurance, bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Some more thoughts as we continue on Wake Up Call.